Welcome, everyone, to the Arc of Wrestling. I am Jeremy Lambert, joined by Steve Cook. How you doing, Cook? It's been a while.
It's been a while, I suppose. It's been all right. We've been pretty busy. Been taking care of business, doing some stuff. TheChairShot.com. Plug right there. The Chair Shot, man, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. More and more stuff going on that website. Y'all know this because you hooked up with us through that, but they're producing, man. It's good stuff.
There are a lot of podcasts on the network, which is fine. As a new discoverer of podcasts, I enjoy listening to the variety they have to offer, including this one.
Definitely including this one.
Not that I re-listen to my own podcast. That's just kind of weird.
I used to, back when I was first starting out, and, just to kind of, to listen to myself and hear how dumb I sound. And it helps you get better, you know?
I have to re-listen when I edit these and put in the clips from what we're talking about. So that's enough for me. I don't like the sound of my own voice.
No, I don't like the sound of your own voice either.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a while. We've been busy. The Olympics took up a lot of my time, and so my sleep schedule got all screwed up, and Steve Cook is just always a busy man. There's no excuses for him. He's just busy, but he powers through it all.
I'm on Korean time either way.
This is the Arc of Wrestling, where we review arcs in wrestling, if you didn't get that already. And this week we are reviewing, God help us, Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle, Triple H, the Love Triangle in 2018.
You know what? It's topical, too, because you take a look at Monday Night Raw right now. What's the main thing they're pushing? It's Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle.
The Love Triangle in 2018.
Rowdy Ronda. How old was Rowdy Ronda at this point? 2000.
I don't know.
What was she doing?
She's like 28, 20, 29 now. So she was born in 87. Oh, she's 31. I didn't realize she was that old.
So she'd been 13. So she'd probably been like karate class, right?
She probably was watching this and loved it, honestly.
That's true. She is quite the wrestling fan. Yeah. She probably watched it. She probably loved it. And it probably inspired her to get into the business.
She probably saw Stephanie McMahon and thought, oh, this is how you act in wrestling. And that's what's led to these great Ronda Rousey promos these last couple of events.
I thought you were going to say that's how you – I thought you were going to say she looked at Stephanie McMahon and thought that's how you act in life.
Now, that's true. I much prefer this Stephanie McMahon over the Stephanie McMahon we have now.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Stephanie McMahon from 2000. I point out to you that SummerSlam 2000 Stephanie. Ooh,
nice. Well, we will get there, and I was at that show. Another show that I was at, actually.
Just recap all the shows you were at, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what it seems like it. So this story actually started when Kurt Angle debuted in 1999. Stephanie was with Triple H after he drugged her and married her against her will, but then it turns out she was fine with it.
Fun for the whole family.
Yeah. Kurt Angle debuted with his big winning streak, and Stephanie took a liking to old Kurt Angle here and tried to help him protect his winning streak. She would call in Steve Blackman to interfere on his behalf, and this would anger Triple H. And so Triple H said, all right, Steve, you can't interfere and help Kurt Angle. And so Stephanie told him, well, go out there and hit Angle. So he wins by DQ and keeps the streak. And this did not Triple H did not like this. He was not a fan of his wife having the hots for an Olympic gold medalist.
And who could blame him?
Yeah. And then it just dropped.
And who could blame her either? Because, I mean, let's see. We're talking about Olympic gold medalist people. The first Olympic gold medalist in WWF history at that time, Kurt Angle, man of the people, the three eyes. He came in and he was born ready right at the start. Really quick learner, great debut. He fit like a glove, man.
And we'll talk about that. He has no problem running down his accomplishments during this feud with Triple H.
But there's a lot of them run down too, so it takes a while.
That is true. But shortly after, Angle loses to Taz. Wow, that really went somewhere, didn't it? Shortly after.
Hey, Taz is an over mother trucker back in those days.
Taz beat Kurt Angle, stopped the undefeated streak in his first match. And
it was all downhill from there, yes.
As we'll get to, by SummerSlam, he was feuding with Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, you're not going. That's not a trip in the right direction, folks.
No.
Much as I love the King, come on.
Yeah. Sure. So it was just kind of dropped out of nowhere, and then it picked back up though in the summer of 2000. And we'll start. Stephanie wins the women's title in March 2000. This is the official start of the Women's Revolution. If you didn't know,
yes, she beat Miss Jacqueline.
Yeah. She was the champion for 5 months. We'll actually get to her title loss during this arc. And on the June 12th Raw, she faced Lita. And Triple H was not allowed to interfere in this match.
Uh-oh.
But who did interfere was one Kurt Angle. Came in and he hit the Olympic Slam to help Stephanie win. And they give a hug after the match. And this makes Triple H jealous. And in the following weeks, they would hug a little bit more. Nothing too major. They didn't go full bore with this angle until just after Fully Loaded. Triple H was feuding with Chris Jericho heading into Fully Loaded. And they had that last man standing match at that event.
That's so, a good one.
Yeah. They had to get through that feud before they could really get into the angle Triple H love fest.
They had to get through that jabroni Chris Jericho.
That's right.
Winnipeg Jet fan. Come on now. Winnipeg Jets. Who'd they ever beat?
Nobody, actually. They've Damn not right won they a cup. I mean, neither has your team, so.
Well.
Triple H becomes jealous. He finds flowers in Stephanie's room. This is a kind of a thing that had happened. Just Joe was, he'll be brought up throughout this arc. He was the gossip man in WWE. He was going around telling people like, oh, I heard so-and-so sent so-and-so flowers and so-and-so wants to meet you in the parking lot. They got a beef with you.
That was a great gimmick.
It actually was.
That's a good and it's a smart gimmick too, because it helps explain like how people would hear about something. You know, we're not supposed to believe that the wrestlers are just sitting around watching the monitor, right? I mean, you'd think they would.
Have you seen the backstage?
Well,
cuts?
That's what they do now. Everybody goddamn watches the monitor, I guess. Am I allowed to curse in this show?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah, no. Now everybody just sits in front of the monitor and looks at a weird angle. It's the weirdest thing. But back in the – this is a great gimmick, though, because it's just a way to tie stories together. He had the stooge, the guy running around backstage, stooging everybody off. Smart.
So Triple H finds flowers in Stephanie's room, and he thinks they're from Angle or Jericho. And he just destroys the flowers. He's very irate at this. And Stephanie says they're not from either of them. Just read the card. Okay. And he doesn't read the card, and – she says they weren't from either of those men. They were from me to you for winning your match. And then Triple H is sad.
What a swerve, the woman giving the man flowers.
They're gender neutral. They're gender equality in WWE, Cook. Haven't you realized that?
Triple H doesn't seem like the kind of guy you'd give flowers to.
Yeah, that's true. SmackDown, July 27th. This is the infamous Trish Stratus bent over in a hammerlock segment.
Oh, yes. A glorious episode for young Steve Cook.
Stephanie walks in, catches him, isn't happy, throws things. A lamp gets knocked over, and Triple H is supposed to grab this lamp by the shade and throw it, and he can't pick it up. So he just knocks over this other lamp, which I found hilarious.
Oh, you know, I Trish Stratus in 2000 as well.
Right? She's something else.
Trish Stratus most years. I mean, let's be real. But, man, just going back and watching this and seeing Trish pop up, wow, man.
The July 31st Raw, Triple H comes out with flowers. and he apologizes to Stephanie and says that, you know, it was my fault. I should have read the card. It meant nothing what happened with Triss. I was just showing her some moves. You know, you got to see the video, see what happened. And Stephanie comes out and she forgives Hunter and they kiss and make up. And Mick Foley is the commissioner at this point. He lost the WrestleMania 2000 match, but he was made the commissioner by Linda McMahon. So Mick Foley comes out and he's got fake tears going. And he makes a match with Triple H and Stephanie against Lita and The Rock. That's your big main event here on Raw.
So good match right there.
They go backstage and Triple H brings in Trish to apologize. And Trish says, I'm sorry. You know, I meant nothing. We were just teaching some holds and stuff. And I respect you. And that was that. She leaves.
Trish. She was a greenhorn at that point. Trish needed the training.
Yeah, exactly.
She wasn't the accomplished woman grappler she'd become later on.
Exactly.
Trish was very, very green at this point. Let's be honest. She, not the best promo in the world, not the best wrestler in the world, but there's a reason that she had a job, and we were all very happy.
Because she liked tables.
Yes, she did like tables.
Trish leaves and Stephanie is not happy with this apology. She says, I saw the way you were looking at her and she was looking at you. She's still a little minx. I don't think she called her that, but she's still a little minx. And then Stephanie wants Triple H to teach him the same moves he taught Trish.
Why don't you show me that move that you were teaching Trish?
I don't think that's such a good idea.
Well, I mean, you thought it was a good idea to teach it to Trish, so it must be a good move.
Well, it's a good move. I just don't think it's a very smart thing for to bring that up. And
Hunter, this is business.
Are you right? Okay. All right, you're right. It's basically an escape out of a hammerlock. Simple hold, hammerlock. Lita probably use it on you in the match. All right, so if Lita gets you in a hammer lock,
if she gets to me,
she's not going to get to you.
Okay.
All right? She'll take your hand here. She'll have it behind your back. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, simplest way out of this is to grab for a body part. You're going to bend over. You're going to reach down between your legs, and you're going to grab my leg, and you're going to pull, and that's going to take me off my feet. That's exactly how you're going to get out of this. Oh, oops, sorry. You're going to be taller, a lot taller.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
What, you don't like that I'm tall?
No, you wish
I was
petite
and little like Trish. But I'm not quite as built as Trish either?
That's not what I'm saying. Listen, you've got great legs. I love them. From the bottom all the way to the top. You're built wonderfully, okay? I love you. That's it, okay? Now, can we just do this? All right? I've got you in the hammerlock. So what you're going to do, you're just going to bend over and grab my leg, Trish. I mean, Steph. Oh. Steph. Listen, I'm nervous. Come on, I'm nervous here. Steph, come on, I'm nervous. I'm going over this. I know you're going to get hot. Come on.
Oh, no.
Steph, come on.
Because, you know, they got a big match. Even though she's the women's champion, you never stop learning in the business.
That's right.
So they got a big match later on. So Triple H teaches Stephanie the hammerlock reversal. And as Stephanie bends over, he says, now what you're going to do here, Trish? Oh, I mean, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah.
Calling the woman the wrong name.
It's never a good move.
Never a good idea at all. Stephanie is not happy with this, as you would imagine. She leaves. She's gone. She's out of there. And so Foley says, well, Triple H, Trish is now your partner. So the main event is The Rock and Lita against Triple H and Trish. And The Rock and Lita win. Triple H is not happy with Trish, who lost the match for them. He stands over her with his feet at her head. And The Rock comes in and hits Triple H from behind with a chair.
Yeah.
And Triple H falls over on Trish in a precarious position. A nice position, as Rob Gronkowski might say.
A nice position, yes, sir.
Rob Gronkowski's favorite position is the one they were in. And so the SmackDown, August 3rd. Stephanie arrives and she tells Triple H, you know what, I just need some space. Never a good thing. to when the woman says she needs space.
Need some space without you in it.
Yeah. Angle greets her, and he says, you know, if you need anyone to talk to, I'm a good listener. I'm here as your friend.
Oh, boy, yeah. How many times I pulled that move?
Stephanie goes into Trish's locker room, and Trish is sitting there with Test standing around.
Yeah.
He plays a semi-important role later on in this feud.
That's, of course, the ex-boyfriend of Stephanie.
Yeah, ex-fiancé, not just boyfriend.
Ex-fiancé, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, they almost got married.
That's right.
They almost got married before Triple H drugged Stephanie and then married her, but it's all okay.
That's right. Stephanie comes in there and threatens Trish, says, stay away from my man, bitch. And as she leaves, Tess just says, thank God I didn't marry that woman. That's yeah, right. Really worked out for you there, Tess.
Yeah, how's he doing these days? Oh, shit.
Oh, that wasn't good.
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, it was
accurate.
Let's
move on. Triple H still wants to talk to Stephanie, and Stephanie still doesn't want to talk to him. And Foley makes a match where he says, you know what? We're going to do Triple H against and Kurt Angle and Stephanie. You're going to team up, and you're going to face Lita and the Dudley Boys. So that's your big main event for SmackDown. And in the match, Lita's going for her moonsault on Stephanie, and Triple H pulls Stephanie out of the way. He pedigrees Lita. She has to sell this like Booker T at WrestleMania. D-Von ends up taking Triple H out of the ring. Bubba comes in, and he's about to powerbomb Stephanie through a table that's in the ring. But Kurt Angle makes the save, and he takes out Bubba Ray. Lita is still down from all this, and...
She got pedigree, for God's sakes.
Yeah, as I said, you got to sell it like Booker T at WrestleMania. And Stephanie ends up pinning Lita, and then Stephanie and Kurt Angle share a big hug with the wraparound legs and everything. This is straight out of the Notebook, the hug that they had. Triple H, none too pleased with this. A lot of that going on in this angle. A lot of just unhappiness.
Now, here's my question. What exactly is wrong with a post-victory hug?
I don't know. I mean,
when you all win a big match or win a big game or something like that, don't people usually celebrate by hugging or other forms of affection that maybe generally you wouldn't do on a regular basis? But hey, you won. Yeah. You're excited. Get happy.
Maybe you got to act like you've been there before. I mean, you're the women's champion. You should be winning these matches.
Yeah, but if you act that way, then you don't get over with the people. Because the people like see emotion.
I guess. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is just as over as who?
That's not true.
Chad Johnson.
That's not true.
One's going to the Hall of Fame and one's not. So.
Well, that's true. But I mean, he spent his whole career in Phoenix. Come on now.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, you could have. Larry Fitzgerald could walk in this room right now, and I would struggle to remember who he was.
Don't lie.
No, I'm telling you the truth because I've only ever seen him with a helmet on.
Everyone knows who Larry Fitzgerald is with that hair, those braids, and dreads.
I wouldn't. I'm telling you, I wouldn't recognize him in police lineup.
All right, if you say so. August 7th, Raw, Triple H arrives, and now he's the one who needs space.
That's right.
Stephanie comes out and apologizes for the hug, and she says that she has been jealous of the time that he's kind of been spending with Trish, and she just got, you know, she saw Trish as a threat, and who could blame her?
Yeah, who could blame her indeed?
Yeah, the crowd chants bullshit at this. They're not buying her apology one bit.
They never believe the woman, do they?
Oh, that's right. Stephanie says, if we didn't fight, it would mean that we didn't care. I guess they don't care as much in 2018 because they don't fight a whole lot.
No, they don't. Well, what do they have to fight about? They're pretty much always on the same side.
Well, again, that means they don't care.
It's not like Triple H is hugging Ronda Rousey.
Yet.
Dun, dun, dun.
They kiss and make up again. Stephanie calls out Kurt Angle, and they need to set the record straight here. This beef must be squashed. They need to be on the same side.
That's right.
And Angle says, we're just friends. You know, all I could think about when I hugged Stephanie was our friendship. And Triple H isn't buying this for one second. Kurt Angle is great in this segment because he has the biggest shit-eating grin on his face as he apologizes and watches Triple H get mad.
Yeah. I mean, Kurt Angle's just being honest, man.
He's very good in this role. I mean, he's good in just about any role you put him in, but he was fantastic throughout this storyline. Stephanie wants him to shake hands. They don't because Mick Foley comes down and he says, we're going to have a match. It's going to be Kurt Angle and Triple H, with the winner being the number one contender to The Rock's title at SummerSlam. Chris Jericho just inserts himself into this match. He attacks Triple H in the locker room and gets rewarded by being put into this match.
Well, you know, Chris Jericho's always excelled at inserting himself into other people's business.
Braun Strowman learned from this. Just destroy shit and you get what you want.
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's a triple threat match in the main event. It was fine. It was too short to be anything special. Back and forth match ends up with Jericho going to the top rope, getting crotched when Triple H pushes the referee into the ropes. That old spot. You don't see that one too much anymore.
Yeah.
And Angle and Triple H hit the double back superplex, and then they both pin Jericho for the double three count. Crowd did not care. You have never heard a crowd so silent for something that should have been much bigger.
Because everybody kind of figured where this was going.
Have they not learned that these double pinfalls just don't excite anybody?
No, they really don't. I'm trying to think of a double pinfall that people got excited about. And I mean, the only double anything I can think of was the time that Bret Hart and Lex Luger eliminated themselves in the Royal Rumble, 94.
Yeah.
People got worked up over that.
Yeah.
But that's the one time I can think of.
Yeah, it never works. Like, they just did it a few weeks ago with Balor and Seth Rollins. And
yeah.
The crowd doesn't want two people to win in a singles match, or when there's only supposed to be one winner,
or whatever it is. Yeah. Because we know we figure you see it happen, and you know, oh, it's gonna be a triple threat match.
Yeah,
there's no drama. It's like, triple threat match. Yeah.
So the crowd is silent. Both men's hands are raised. The Rock's on commentary.
They're also both heels. So
yeah, that's true. The Rock's on commentary. And he doesn't give a fuck who wins this match. He goes into the ring and lays out everybody with a rock bottom.
Oh, God bless The Rock. He was great.
Rock is like, I don't care who wins. I'm just going to beat the shit out of all three of them. He laid out Stephanie, too. He's like, I'm just going to beat all these jabronis.
Rock had no problem beating up Stephanie during this whole angle.
Stephanie actually got beat up during this.
I know. Can you believe? Stephanie, I mean, people got heat off her. It's crazy. Couldn't believe it.
On SmackDown, Kurt Angle and Triple H teamed up to face The Rock and The Undertaker. And Angle accidentally hits Triple H in the middle of this match, and Triple H leaves. Taker ends up pinning Kurt Angle, and Taker is about to powerbomb Stephanie, but Triple H returns to rescue Stephanie, and then Triple H gets beaten up. So both guys laid out here. Triple H laid out for trying to protect his woman.
We should point out that it was also American Badass Undertaker.
Yes, it was. What a gimmick that ended up being.
I mean, the American Badass thing was kind of 50-50. I liked Big Evil, the Undertaker.
Yeah, once he transformed into Big Evil, I thought it was fine. Like, the initial American Badass Undertaker was...
Yeah, the biker thing with the shirt. Not so much. But yeah, the Big Evil is great.
Yeah. August 14th, Raw, Kurt Angle opens the show. This is where he brags about his accomplishments. He says, I've accomplished more in 9 months than Triple H ever did in his first 9 months. I've won King of the Ring, Intercontinental title, European title. Triple H was wrestling hogpen matches in his first nine months.
You know, they still show the hogpen match. Just the other day, they tweeted out the hogpen match for National Pig Day.
It's a guilty pleasure of Vince McMahon.
He loves the hog pen. I think he loves bringing it up. Just because, I don't know. I think he likes annoying Triple H that way. I think it's like a father son-in-law type thing. He just likes to bring it up.
I'm fairly certain if he could run that match again, he would.
I imagine them sitting around like family gatherings, like Vince laughing. Ha! Remember when you wrestled a hog pen? Ha!
They just don't have a gimmick to where they could do a hog pin match nowadays.
They would like to do one, though.
Yeah.
That also led to the gimmick where Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith got the pigs from the hog pen and put them in Vince's office, which is also great.
He calls Triple H a loser, and he says, "It pains me to see my friend Stephanie was such a loser." Triple H is not...
Boy, do I know that feeling.
He comes out. He is angry. He's ready to kick Kurt Angle's ass. But here comes Shane McMahon.
Shane O'Mac. What's he been up to?
Shane McMahon inserts himself into this foray here. He was kind of managing Chris Benoit and everybody around this time. Yeah. So Shane McMahon comes out, and you know he's not happy that his brother-in-law is fighting with his sister, and then his sister's best friend is in it, so he's there to restore the peace. And Foley comes out, and we get another six-man tag. It's Triple H, Angle, and Shane against The Rock and the Dudleys.
Foley was not about restoring peace, was he?
No. Stephanie finally arrives to the arena, and Angle is out there to greet
her. Where was she at earlier? How come she wasn't there at Triple H?
Angle is there to greet her. He's holding... They arrive separately a lot, I see here.
Well, no wonder Kurt died a shot.
Yeah. Kurt's there to greet her with an umbrella because it's raining outside. It's a gentleman.
That's right. Good
and
friend.
He gives her a kiss on the cheek, and he thanks her for coming back for him on SmackDown when Undertaker was kicking his ass.
He's like his grandpa. He's like a grandpa.
Yeah. As you know by now, Triple H is angry.
Of course he is.
And isn't
Triple H angry, though?
Yeah. He was angry
a lot during this time period.
He wants Stephanie to leave. He says, "You just need to get out of here." And Shane says, "No, you need to stay." But Stephanie ends up leaving anyway. This is where Just Joe comes in, and he says, you know, and he goes to talk to Triple H, and he says, "In 20 minutes, somebody wants to meet you in the parking lot."
And
10 minutes later, he goes to talk to Kurt Angle, and he says, "In 10 minutes, somebody wants to meet you in the parking lot." So, ten minutes later, they go to the parking lot, and they're about to fight when a limo nearly runs them both over. But they get out of the way. They're quicker on their feet than old Steve Austin ended up being.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon gets out of the limo, and he says, "My daughter is irate. And you've traumatized her. Get into the limo." So they both get in the limo, and then we go to commercial break. And when we come back, everyone exits the limo, and he says, "I hope we have an understanding now." Why would Triple H feel threatened by Vince here? He already kicked his ass to win over the daughter earlier in the year.
He beat Vince at Armageddon, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He really should not care about what – I mean, he really shouldn't care that much. But for the sake of the story, I suppose, he has to act like he cares what Vince says. And Kurt cares because Kurt hadn't really had too much interaction with Vince at this point.
Kurt caring makes sense. Triple H, though, he should have just kicked the old man's ass again. Be like, stay out of our business.
Damn right. He already marked his territory.
Yeah. So we end up having the six-man tag. Nobody wins. It just ends in a schmoz. But the big story here is, you're about to hear a lot of matches that end in DQs for the rest of this podcast. The big story here is that Triple H and Angle work together, and they lay out The Rock to close the show. And so the McMahon-Angle alliance is on the same page.
Yeah. See, that's what happens when you're all on the same page. You can lay out The Rock.
Yeah, when you're not on the same page, he beats them all up.
That's right.
On SmackDown, the McMahon-Helmsley-Angle faction comes out, and they gloat about taking out The Rock. And Angle apologizes for saying Triple H accomplished nothing early in his career. And Triple H apologizes for accomplishing everything later in his career. He says, "I'm sorry that I'm a four-time world champion and that you've never been close to the world title." He He was only 4-time world champion at this point.
Man, you know, I would have bought Triple H as a 4-time world champion.
And so Stephanie still wants them to hug, make up. They end up shaking hands, and then they get a big old group hug with everybody. And that's the end of the angle. It all ends well.
It's all over. Wait a minute.
No, Mick Foley. Here he comes. And he says, you know what? The Rock is itching for a fight tonight, and he wants to fight one of you. But I'm going to let you decide who gets the match. So is it going to be the 4-time world champion? Is it going to be the Olympic gold medalist? Or how about the former European champion? Then he says, or maybe we'll have a title versus title match. The women's champion against the world champion.
Yeah, Foley would do something like that.
Yeah.
He's a pig.
That's right. And so throughout the night, they bicker who's going to get the match. Shane first decides, oh, it's going to be me. I'm going to get it. And then Stephanie says, oh, I should get it. I'm the only champion. And then they just decide it's going to be Triple H. And this does not please Kurt Angle. And he leaves the building. Stephanie tries to stop him, but he says, nope, I'm not happy. I'm out of here. But it's a swerve, Steve Cook.
Uh-oh.
Because during the Rock and Triple H match, Kurt Angle returns. He hits the Rock with the chair, and Triple H pins the Rock with a pedigree.
That's right.
And once again, Triple H and Kurt Angle are on the same page.
I have a feeling it's not going to last very long.
August 21st, Raw. Triple H and Angle take on the Acolyte Protection Agency.
Uh-oh.
And they win. But after the match, the Acolytes beat up Angle. And Triple H, he's going up the ramp, and he starts to come back down to make the save. But the Acolytes shoot him a dirty look, and he's like, I'm good, guys. I'll get out of here.
So, yeah, it's not to blame him. I mean, if Bradshaw and Farouk shoot you a dirty look, you're probably going to go the other direction. At least I would.
Yeah. Yeah, Triple H wanted none of these two men. And he didn't have enough money to pay them off to protect him, I guess.
See, I don't buy that. I'm sure Triple H had enough money. At least his wife did.
Later in the night, Stephanie is preparing for her women's title match against Lita. Stephanie and Lita is the main event of this Raw. I'm shocked they women's do not evolution. Push this more.
Women's Evolution. Come on now. I'm like 95% sure that is the first women's main event of
Raw. They push the Lita and Trish match as being like the first time the women main evented Raw. I'm surprised that they don't mention that Stephanie did it before them, because it's Stephanie.
You would think that they would mention it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
This one time where Stephanie is fine just not being the fairy godmother and the creator of the division.
Maybe she didn't want people to watch the match.
That's a very good point, actually. That is a very good point. So Stephanie is preparing for her women's title match, and she wants Kurt Angle to show her some wrestling moves, because, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist after all.
That's right.
And she wants him to feel part of the team more than anything. Angle, again, is not happy that Triple H, he saw the footage. He saw that Triple H did not save him. So he's not too satisfied with Triple H right now after it looked like they were on the same page. So to make him feel included and part of the team, she says, well, Kurt, why don't you show me some moves? And right. Triple H gets jealous at this. He has to leave the locker room while Kurt and Stephanie play a game of Twister.
Triple H is just not a very happy man.
No, he's not. I mean, his wife's not happy. It's happy wife, happy life, right? Well, his wife's unhappy right now.
See, that's what happens when you marry the boss's daughter. I'm telling you, it's a bad move.
That's what happens when you marry in general. Don't do it, kids. My wife's not going to listen to this. It's fine.
No, probably not. Can she hear you?
No, she's upstairs. We soundproof the room so she can't hear anything.
Oh boy! You know, if you're gonna get married, kids, get a soundproof room.
Yeah. We get to our main event, and Lita defeats Stephanie, ending her five-month reign as women's champion.
Full of top-notch title defenses against killer competition.
I don't think she defended it once.
Probably not.
During the match, Kurt Angle accidentally hits Triple H with a women's title. I'm shocked Triple H sold it. It's the women's title. It weighs less than the men's title.
Wait a minute, the match was between Stephanie McMahon and Lita. Why the hell are Triple H and Kurt Angle hitting each other?
Because that's just what happens in 2000 WWE. They're out there, they were trying to help Stephanie, and, you know, it didn't work for them.
Things malfunctioned.
Yeah, the Hardys came out, and they helped
Hardys
Lita.
Hardys came out?
So.
Oh, okay.
They weren't quite buried at this point. On SmackDown, Foley tells Stephanie, you get a match against The Rock and Lita, but you got to choose your partner.
Oh.
You got to choose between Kurt and Triple H. And, you know, they bicker back and forth, and Stephanie says, I'm going to let the coin decide my partner. It's a good way to pick. That's how they decide draft picks in the NFL. Why not?
Exactly. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. She flips the coin, lands on tails. Kurt Angle is her partner. During the match, Angle is whipped into Stephanie, who is at the corner at the tag rope, and she falls and she smacks her head on the steps.
Oh, yep.
She didn't get amnesia this time, at least. Like when
Thank
Davey
goodness.
Boy
yeah, that was a bad time. That's a wonderful angle.
Yeah, what an angle that was.
Remember why they did that?
It wasn't because Russo had left, and so...
Yes, Russo had left, and they weren't quite sure where he was going to go with the whole Test and Stephanie thing, so they stalled for time so they could figure something out.
I want to know Russo's payoff to that angle.
It probably involved him impregnating somebody.
Good. That would have been great, I think.
I forget which angle it was where he was supposed to impregnate Stacy Keibler.
That was the angle, wasn't it? He was supposed to impregnate Stacy Keibler, but
Stacy had a miscarriage during a match with Miss Hancock. It was with Major Guns, rather.
Yeah.
That's another one we got covered.
Wrestling's the best sometimes. I just watched the angle where Mae Young gives birth to the hand.
Oh, yeah.
That was
classic.
That was something else. She does the big Olympic splash, or the world's strongest splash, and then she goes into labor.
I'd also love to hear the original pitch for that one. Yeah. Like, what was the original idea for the Mae Young pregnancy?
Why do they do pregnancies in wrestling?
The hand could not have been the original idea, right? They had to have something else in mind. Maybe.
There's no way to really pay off a pregnancy in wrestling unless you
You had the Miss Hancock miscarriage. You had the Terry Reynolds miscarriage.
Yeah.
Miscarriages are bad business anyway.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to watch that.
No, not at all.
Or hands being born.
So
the less kids, the better, wrestlers. That's right, you ladies out there in the Raw and SmackDown rosters, please don't get pregnant.
Yeah, nowadays they just, when they do a pregnancy angle, they're like, well, she's actually pregnant, she's not going to be around for a while.
Yeah, Maria's gone for a while. Yeah. Maria's ain't here. No. They're gonna share Miss and Mrs. Yeah. or something shit like that. So
yeah, Brie,
where the hell were we on this anyway?
Brie went away. Stephanie smacked her head on the steps.
It's the old amnesia gimmick.
Yeah,
it was amnesia.
Triple H comes down and carries her to the back, and EMTs check on her. And instead of staying with his wife, Triple H, being a good friend, I guess, he says, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to help Kurt in this match.
Yeah, so, I believe Stephanie encouraged that as well.
Yeah. So Triple H goes back to help Kurt Angle here. I don't actually think anyone wins this match. I think it just ends. We get a big brawl. Hardys come down. Angle ends up escaping, and Triple H gets beaten up by everybody. Yeah. Angle goes to the back to check on Stephanie. He chases away the EMTs, and he says, I'm so sorry, Stephanie. Like, I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. You know, I value our friendship more than anything. And he gives her a big hug, and he looks at her, and he plants a big old kiss on her.
Oh, it was a big one too.
And Stephanie fights it off a little bit at first, but then she comes around on the kiss.
Get out of here! Get that guy out of here! Get out of here! Steph, are you all right? Are you all right?
I'm okay.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it, Steph. I swear I didn't mean to do it. I really care about you, Steph. You don't realize how much I care about you.
I am so sorry. Oh, I am so sorry,
it's
Steph.
Okay, Kurt.
I am so sorry.
I
really care about
fault.
You, Steph. I really
fault.
Care.
It wasn't your fault at all. I
You can't fight the Olympic kiss.
No, and Kurt Angle finally pulls away, and he is smiling ear to ear.
He, like, sucked half her face off, too.
He really did. He was proud of this kiss that he got.
He was working it.
Yeah. And that's your go-home angle for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Tune in to see The Rock, Triple H, and Kurt Angle fight for a world title.
Well, let's be honest. That's probably better than the most of go-home for most of these pay-per-views these days.
Oh, that's true. SummerSlam 2000 from the Raleigh Entertainment and Sports Arena.
Yeah.
Better known as the ESA back in that time. It's now the PNC Arena. It's undergone about five name changes since.
Like most arenas, yeah.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, I think it was on the air, I was at this event.
Jeremy Lampert hang out at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I was there with my best friend in high school. I guess no, I was in middle school. I was in middle school at this point. So my best friend from middle school, we went to this event. And if you watch the Shane McMahon fall, there's a certain angle where you can see old me, old 12-year-old me there.
You were up in those bleeds then, weren't you?
No. I was actually in the 100 section, but I was off to the side. So that fall was just right in front of me. So that's why I said you have to watch it from one of the certain replays.
Huh.
You can see old me.
Kids, we'll have to go back and review that footage.
Yeah. I look nothing then like I look now, because now I look like a wilder beast with my beard, but couldn't grow facial hair at 12.
Back then he had the rainbow hair going? Or?
Yeah, something like that. I had the spiked mohawk.
You seem like the type who have like the spiked mohawk and different hair dyes.
Not even close. I was as straight laced as they come for the most part.
You're one of those late blooming rebels.
Yeah, exactly. During the show, we got a bunch of cutaways. The first one is Stephanie with the makeup lady, and the makeup lady's asking her about the kiss and everything, and she says, "Well, Kurt's a good kisser."
Yeah.
And you know, after Shane McMahon falls, Kurt Angle comes in to check on Stephanie and see how she's doing, and he gives her a hug, and then Mick Foley interrupts the hug, says, "You know, you should kind of be with your brother right now." And this upsets Angle. He thought he was getting
Foley
somewhere.
Who is Foley to tell people what to do with their siblings?
I know. Triple H arrives about 90 minutes into the show. So
yeah, thanks for showing up.
He's getting some late work in, man. He's making sure.
I always love they show up in the middle of the show. It's like, what are you doing?
Especially a pay-per-view.
Yeah, pay-per-view, too. You're showing up, like, halfway through a show. Yeah. Like, how unprofessional.
Yeah. Again, I think he's getting a late-night workout in. Make sure he's peaking at the right time.
I'm at the gym, yeah.
Yeah. There's this one point where Triple H is working out. So, again, keeping that going. And Stephanie gets a phone call, and she says it's from Linda, but it's really from Kurt. And when Triple H wants to talk to Linda, which I don't know why he would. I don't think they're on the same page at this point. Triple H wants to talk to Linda, and the phone, we get the hang-up dial. Because Kurt Angle does not want to talk to Triple H. Before the match, Kurt Angle comes out, and he apologizes for not kissing Stephanie sooner.
Yeah.
And
that's a good move right there.
Triple H, his music hits. He has no time for
Triple
his water.
Didn't like that move.
No, he has no time for his water spitting gimmick now.
I like that entrance. I like that entrance because too often these guys come out, they're supposed to be all pissed off, yet they still run through the whole entrance routine.
Yeah.
Triple H is pissed off. And he speed walks down the ring.
That's right. He comes out. We get a big brawl. Kurt Angle and Triple H fight up onto the table. Fans should know this spot if you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Triple H is going to pedigree Angle on the table, but before he gets the initial jump, the table collapses, and so Kurt knocks his head on the table, and he's a little bit woozy on this one.
Bounces off the table like a basketball.
Doesn't look good at all. You can see him talking to each other and making sure everyone's okay. So the original plan here was for the pedigree through the table and for Kurt Angle to be stretchered out of the match. And Triple H was supposed to attack Angle on the stretcher, dump the stretcher over, and, you know, make it look worse. He attacks Angle on the stretcher, but he quickly realizes that Angle is not quite right. And so
Rock comes over and breaks it all up.
The Rock enters a little bit earlier than he was supposed to. So we get The Rock and Triple H in their 5,000th match of their career. It's your typical Rock and Triple H match. I think it's actually worse than your typical Rock and Triple H match. Triple H dominates the majority of the match. It is no disqualification. All triple threat matches are no disqualification, aren't they? Like, I think that's a rule now.
I think that's true, yeah.
So we get cut back. Stephanie is backstage with Kurt begging him to get off the stretcher and go out there and help Triple H. He does. He makes a miraculous recovery. He goes out there.
In 2018, there's no freaking way they would let him go back to the ring.
No. Triple H hits the pedigree on The Rock. It looks like he has it won as Kurt Angle makes his way back down, and Angle pulls Triple H out of the ring. So he was supposed to help Triple H, but
he got confused.
Yeah, I guess so. That's just Stephanie's fault. Triple H was dominating the match and had it won, and she's like, no, go help him.
Well, in Stephanie's defense, she was too busy checking on Kurt to figure out what the hell is going on in the ring.
Well, she should have been by her husband, supporting him in his quest to be a 5-time champion.
But Kurt's her friend.
I guess so.
You've seen there's been some marital issues.
Yeah, I think Stephanie's to blame for Triple H not winning this match, honestly.
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true.
End of the match comes with Stephanie throwing the sledgehammer in the ring and then getting in the ring herself for some reason.
Well, yeah, she threw a sledgehammer in the middle of the ring, and that didn't go well because Triple H and Kurt Angle both went for it.
Angle ends up grabbing it, and he backs into Stephanie, and Triple H goes to hit Kurt Angle, but he ducks, and Stephanie gets cold-cocked by her own husband. And then Angle hits Triple H with the sledgehammer. The Rock sends Angle to the outside, hits the people elbow on Triple H, and The Rock retains the title as the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle carries Stephanie backstage to end the show. 12-year-old me wasn't quite sure what to make of this angle. I was happy The Rock won. I remember that.
Yeah. But
I couldn't tell that Kurt Angle was actually knocked loopy, and you know, I just thought I remember being upset that he was stretchered out, though. I was like, I want this triple threat match. I think we just sat through this horrible Taker and Kane match as well. So I was a fan of Kurt Angle. I liked his wacky little comedy gimmick, so I wanted to see him in this match. I mean, I mainly just wanted the Rock to win. But
I was 16 at this point. I could tell Kurt was not loopy. He was not right, and I was shocked they let him go back to the ring. I couldn't believe all that, and he still managed to do some stuff. It's pretty obvious he really shouldn't have been out there, but I liked the story. I enjoyed the hijinks with Kurt and with Triple H and stuff. There's a lot of good drama, you know? And it usually resulted in some good matches. And I thought Triple Threat was pretty good, especially at least, you know, how usually you have two guys wrestling for most of the Triple Threat match. At least that time there's a reason.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. As far as the match goes, it was fine. Like, rewatching it just the other night, I had no desire to see The Rock and Triple H just wrestle again. And I'm not even sure I was thrilled with it as a 12-year-old. Because, again, Kurt Angle being in the match felt fresh. Whereas The Rock and Triple H, like, this is just a pairing we'd seen.
Kurt was new to main eventing at this point, too, so it was exciting.
Yeah, this is a pairing we'd seen for the last
new guy come up.
2 years now. I was kind of over it. So But the actual match, it was fine. Once Angle returned, I thought it got really hot, and I thought the closing stretch was good.
And, well, I mentioned to you that that Stephanie in the show. Oh,
yes.
Goodness.
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
The problem with this match is we'd seen so much good wrestling and car crash stuff that it was tough to top. Like, this was the first TLC match, which everyone went crazy for.
Shane died earlier in the show.
Yeah, Shane died. Benoit and Jericho was a good match. But they were at least smart enough to put Taker and Kane right on before this. And so we were jonesing for something good after watching that nonsense.
Why on earth were they wrestling each other?
Because it's take. Not only did they wrestle each other, it ended in a no contest. So.
Oh, I kind of remember that part of it, but I guess Kane turned heel. Was that the gimmick there?
I don't recall it. It was just a bad match. Like it was
Undertaker
good.
Kane.
Yeah, it was Undertaker. Like, aside from WrestleMania 14. What did they ever have a good match together?
I like 20 as well, because, well, mostly just for the return of, like, you know, Dead Man Undertaker.
Right. I'd have to rewatch
it. And the match
it,
was fine, but... there. But yeah, other than those two instances, no.
Yeah. As I said, the original plan, the match pretty much went how it was supposed to go. Kurt Angle getting, I think it was ruled that he didn't suffer any type of concussion, which I find hard to believe.
Yeah, I think modern day scientists would have had a. I think modern day doctors have had a different opinion.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, but it still went as originally planned. Like, that was the angle. It was just Triple H didn't beat the hell out of Angle as much as he wanted to, because Kurt was actually concussed in that segment.
Triple H would still find ways to beat the hell out of Kurt Angle.
That's true. Well, the next night, Angle comes out, and he says he can't really remember the night before. So they didn't play into this, him getting a concussion that wasn't a concussion. And he says, I can't really remember what happened last night, but I know I saved Stephanie's life.
That's right.
And he calls Triple H a terrible husband for beating his wife. So we've got domestic violence entering this storyline here.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, that's true. Triple H comes out and he says, I want to know where my wife is. Angle's like, I don't recall. And they end up brawling. And Kurt Angle cuts a promo later in the night. And he says, it's starting to kind of come back to me. I remember taking Stephanie to the hospital and then to the hotel and then going into, it was Stephanie's hotel room that we were in. So it's starting to come back to him a little bit here. Throughout the night, Triple H talks with the former DX members. I guess they're still DX at this point. I have no clue. We're not reviewing that angle, folks. But he talks to X-Pac and Road Dogg, and they both say, like, I'm sure she was in good hands. Everything's fine.
Yeah, that's right.
And he talks to China at one point.
Oh.
And China says, you got to have trust in the relationship. Yeah, ironic coming from China and talking to Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H.
You know that segment's a ribbon.
Yeah. Triple H, China hug, and Eddie Guerrero, who is with China at this point, he sees them hugging, and now he's not happy.
Yeah, Latino temper.
This is when Triple H decides that the whole WWE is gone, or WWF at this point, decides that the whole company has just gone crazy. So their relationship is interfering with other relationships. All the relationships are going off the rails right now.
Well, that's nothing new.
So Eddie wants a match with Triple H after Angle baits Eddie into taking it. He says, you know, if someone did that to my woman, I'd want to kick their ass. Like, you can't trust people like that.
That's right.
What a guy Kurt Angle is. Eddie's like, Eddie's like, you're right. So they get a match. It ends in 3 minutes because Kurt Angle comes down and he hits Triple H with a chair. And then he hits Eddie as well. And China comes out and she checks on both of the men. On SmackDown, Stephanie is back. She's fine. She opens the show and she says, "I've been at Shane's bedside since SummerSlam. You know, he took a bad fall from Steve Blackman and the Kendo
stick." He died.
He did die. He's died a lot over the years.
Yeah.
He's 50 years old, 60 years old, and still dying.
He looks like he's 60. He looks like 90.
Yeah. Angle comes out and he shows off the footage of Triple H hitting her. And Stephanie says, you know, he's already apologized for that. He says that was an accident and I forgave him. So he says, all right, well, how about this footage? And he shows the footage of Triple H and China hugging. And yeah, this is what upsets Stephanie. So I guess Triple H didn't tell her about this one and she didn't watch the show. They didn't want to watch Raw.
Yeah, I mean, Shane did not want to watch the show. He was still having PTSD.
Yeah, and Stephanie, I guess, didn't want to see what was going on with her life.
Since they lived their whole entire love life on television.
Yeah.
That is one thing I always wondered about. How come they didn't have these conversations like in between Raw and SmackDown?
Well, they didn't. I mean, they had a conversation of Triple H saying, "I'm sorry for hitting you," but he just left out that, you know, "I also hugged China."
Yeah, but he waited like in between shows to like mention, "Oh, by the way, I'm sorry." Ooh. You don't mention that on the way home?
Did he? I mean, he could have mentioned it on Sunday night. I guess not, because he didn't know where his wife was. So
no, that's true.
Yeah,
she was with Kurt Angle, apparently.
Yeah, I guess he did. He didn't see his wife until Tuesday morning at the earliest.
You know, that's probably for the best for marriage too.
China
comes
out. Days
without seeing each other.
China comes out, defends herself. Kurt Angle has a great line here and says, you know, I hit Triple H with the chair because I was just not happy that he would do this to my friend Stephanie McMahon. And then I was still loopy. I got double vision, and I thought it was Triple H getting up, and that's why I hit Eddie with the chair.
That's
as
right.
Well.
Yeah, concussion.
Yeah. Kurt is the best. China threatens Stephanie and Angle hits the Olympic slam on her. Eddie comes out to check on China and Angle and Stephanie leave together. Now Triple H arrives. Where
getting their workout in.
Yeah. That's why this man was a 4-time WWE champion in like a year. He worked out a lot.
Yeah.
He enters the locker room where Stephanie and Angle are hanging out, and Angle quickly gets the hell out of there. Stephanie confronts him about the hug, and it ends up turning into Foley books a triple threat match with Angle, Triple H, and Eddie. Triple H apologizes for the hug. Stephanie forgives him. We're doing that old thing again.
Yeah.
And then he gets upset and says, well, what about that kiss between you and Kurt? It's been a week since they've kissed. They've not talked about this yet, apparently. He's apologized for hitting her, but they didn't bring up the kiss. A lot of turmoil going on here. They got a lot to talk about. You can't remember all these things.
Well, Kurt doesn't remember most of them.
Well, Triple H and Stephanie don't remember them either. You know, what's theirs? They apparently didn't talk between Thursday and Sunday about the kiss, and then now they're bringing it up a week later, but Triple H
that's my whole point. Why don't you bring that up earlier?
Triple H has hit Stephanie and then hugged China during this week, so that takes precedent over this kiss that happened a week ago, which feels like a month ago right now.
You know, when you have this many issues in your marriage, things are not going well.
Yeah. Well, they care. They fight because they care.
That's right.
Stephanie again says, we're just friends. And Triple H starts yelling, throwing things. And Just Joe is at the door. And he overhears, you know, the yelling and the banging. And not that kind of banging.
Yeah, that's a different show.
Yeah. He goes on to... He runs to Kurt Angle and he says... You know, I heard a lot of commotion going on in the locker room, and it didn't sound good. And Angle's like, is he hitting her again? And Just Joe's like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what I heard.
That's right.
They do need another guy like Just Joe. I wish they'd do more with Dana Brooke's stats gimmick. I think that could be fantastic.
I think I would be a great choice to be the shit stirrer backstage.
Saber metrics in wrestling? Like, what could go wrong?
Well, Chikara tried that and didn't go so well.
Oh, did they? I don't watch Chikara. Yeah. All right. Well, what can you do? I still think they should do more with Dana Brooke. She's got more talent than Stephanie had at 2000. And
I don't know about that. I don't know. I got this crazy on that. Stephanie had a lot of talent in 2000.
Fair enough. Stephanie is getting coffee. Angle walks up to her and checks on her and wants to, you know, see what's going on. Stephanie says, everything's fine. And Angle says, all right, well, if you need anything, I'm here.
You know, they always say everything's fine.
Yeah, they're friends. She didn't have any black eyes or bruises or anything, so everything's good.
Triple H, down the stairs.
Triple H is doing his pre-match stretch when the cops arrive.
Uh-oh.
They arrest him on suspected domestic abuse. Stephanie is not happy about this. She is upset. She is shocked. She's horrified. Here comes Mick Foley and says, well, you're cornering Kurt Angle tonight. What a dick Mick Foley is.
They really can't do domestic abuse storylines in 2018, can they?
No, not a chance.
That would not work.
No, they can't even do men like hitting women, like not even just a storyline, like just a man hitting a woman.
They can't even do that.
No. Yeah.
They came in to hit her on the Mixed Match Challenge.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, there's... I think it'd be great if they did a sexual harassment storyline. They did that with X-Pac, Kane, and Tori when she spent the night with X-Pac, and then she thought every guy was trying to sexually abuse her after that.
Yeah. There's a potential there.
Different times in 1999 and 2000.
Yeah. Can't, better.
can't be getting away with that stuff nowadays. Unless you're the president. That's the only way
it happens. Unless you're the president, yeah. That president's getting away with that, too.
Yeah, that's true. So Foley makes Stephanie corner Kurt Angle, and she's not happy about this. And Angle ends up beating Eddie. Post-match, China lays out Stephanie with a DDT, and Angle carries her to the back. September 4th Raw. It opens with a 30-minute fucking segment.
Wait a minute. What is he talking about? The authorities. Now, wait a minute. What? Who the hell's this? Are these the authorities? These aren't authorities. It's trash. It's
Nick, before you do anything drastic, I got a confession I got to make.
What?
Actually... to tell the truth, it's a confession I've been wanting to make for a long, long time. To be more specific, November 29th, 1999.
What?
You remember that date, don't you, Triple H?
November 29th?
Because I know I do. It was supposed to be the greatest moment of my life. What? I was supposed to get married. I was supposed to get money. I was supposed to get power. And I was supposed to watch my career skyrocket to the top.
Oh, that's right.
But that didn't happen, did it, Triple H? No, because it was you who took Stephanie right from underneath my nose. And it was you who got the money, you who got the power, and you who watched your career skyrocket to the top while I sit back and let it happen.
Wow.
Triple H, you have no idea how long I've waited for this moment. You have no idea the smile that came across my face when I watched the cops take you out of that building last week. My only regret, they didn't send your sorry ass to jail.
What a bitter man. I can't believe it.
You think last Thursday was the worst night of your life? Well, last November was the worst night of mine. So, I took it upon myself to make a little phone call to the cops.
Tess did it! Tess did it! Tess called the cops on Triple H!
I watched this yesterday. And I texted you because I'd been watching all of these segments. There are so many segments for this storyline. Literally 45 minutes of these shows revolve around
these
two. They
got a lot of time. Yeah.
There's a lot of cut-ins before and after matches to go along with just the actual matches involving these people. And, of course, the 15-minute opening promos. This is 30 minutes. Opens with Triple H coming out, and he wants to know who calls the cops on him. I'm going to put this whole segment in this podcast, and DeMarco's going to yell at me, being like, why is this podcast 2 gigabytes file size? like, because I had to insert this 30-minute September 4th Raw opening. Foley comes out and he says maybe it was Stephanie, so she could be alone with Kurt Angle. And then he says, maybe it was you, Triple H. You called the cops on yourself so you could get sympathy.
Right.
And Triple H says to Foley, maybe it was you, Foley, because I ended your career and you wanted to get back at me. Mm-hmm. In the end, they all agree that it was not the three of them.
Of course not.
The fashion police are on this, on the case on this one.
Reason Fandango get it done.
Angle comes out and he just wants everyone to know it wasn't me. He's Shaggy right now. He accuses China. And China comes out and she says, nope, wasn't me. Foley says, well, maybe it was Eddie to get back at Triple H for hugging China. And Eddie says, no, I wanted to beat up Triple H. Why would I want to take him out of the match? Wasn't me. Foley then pulls the audience because they're always, you know.
Yeah, who's gonna know? Yeah, especially in Lexington, Kentucky. There's a Mensa group I ever saw one right there.
And so Foley pulls the audience and the crowd cheers for Kurt Angle. I guess that means they think it's Kurt Angle.
Why would you cheer for a man who
called the
Triple
cops?
H arrested? Well, then again, actually, I guess we should cheer for calling the cops on Triple H, right?
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yeah. So they all agree that it was Kurt Angle. But wait, there's more. Test and Trish come out. And Test says,
of course.
Test says, it was him, Austin. It was him all along.
Test.
I hated this segment. Just recapping it has drained me. Just Test. Reminding myself of what I went through watching this segment again. Yes, Test waited. Well, I guess the wedding happened in November, so this was September. 9 months, 10 months. Test waited 10 months to get his revenge on Triple H for stealing his wife.
His revenge is calling the cops.
His revenge was having Triple H hang out in jail so the finger poke of doom could happen. In the end, Foley books Test and Triple H in a match.
30 minutes to book Triple H versus Test?
Yeah. Triple H goes to leave, and he's attacked by Test and Kurt Angle. I didn't like the attacking on the ramp. I didn't think that made much sense. So, after 10 months of Test waiting to get his revenge on Triple H for stealing his wife, he gets beat in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Even Albert tries to help him, and he gets laid out. So, there you go, Test. Good job. Really got your revenge there. On SmackDown, by the way, Eddie and China are pretty much done with this angle at this point. This turns into the whole Eddie wins the, I think China's the Intercontinental Champion right now, and Eddie wins the Intercontinental title when he hugs China to check on her, and the referee counts it as a pinfall. And this turns, this is kind of the start of the lie, cheat, and steal gimmick. Like, this is the origins of it almost.
Well, that's the Guerrero family tradition. Yeah. China should see it coming.
On SmackDown, Triple H beats Test and Albert in a handicap match because these guys can't get buried enough. Kurt Angle does interfere, so I guess that leads to, you know, some type of
excuse. I did love Test and Albert's tag team name.
TNA.
Yeah.
They turned it into an entire company for many years.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle interfered. Stephanie was out there, and Test was about to powerbomb her, and Angle prevented that. So he helped save Stephanie there. And Stephanie was very excited about Angle coming down to help her, thinking that, you know, everyone's back on the same page now. Later in the night, Kurt Angle faces The Undertaker. God, Kurt Angle got beat by The Undertaker a lot during the summer. He faces The Undertaker. This one ends in a DQ when he who shall not be named, even though we've named him a few times on this podcast, interferes. Triple H runs out. He attacks Angle. Stephanie is upset at this because, you know, Kurt came to help Triple H and Triple H came to beat up Kurt. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. September 11th, Raw, Triple H faces Chris Jericho. How do you think this match ends, Steve Cook?
Triple H and Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Triple H.
You're wrong. It ends in a DQ. Whoa.
Oh, okay.
He's X-Pac. Well, X-Pac interferes, and Triple H is upset with X-Pac interfering, so he beats up X-Pac. This is a very unhappy man.
Chris Jericho, was this when Jericho and X-Pac had a feud for no reason?
Yeah, where they had a bunch of matches before
I
Jericho.
Hate X-Pac at this point. I hate X-Pac.
Everybody hated X-Pac at this point.
Most people still do. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you... I mean, he's gotten some online love lately, but...
He is, when you watch like the Click documentary and stuff, he is the most honest when it comes to that stuff. I don't think he's burnt up all of the goodwill and the nostalgia appearances that, you know, everybody else has burned up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nobody likes Road Dogg because he's ruining SmackDown.
He's
right
ruining
now.
SmackDown. Yeah.
Billy Gunn got fired for doing bodybuilding competitions and steroids. And then he went to New Japan and was terrible. You know, Triple H is NXT. NXT Paul is great, but on authority, Triple H is terrible. Everybody still loves Shawn Michaels, who, when he's in those Click documentaries, he's still a complete dick and you can tell. Waltman is at least very honest and saying like, yeah, we were assholes, we know it, we like, he at least seems to have some type of remorse for how he acted back in the day. I don't mind Waltman is what I'm trying to say.
Did he apologize for being Jericho all the time or not?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. Angle faces TNA in a handicap match, and this match ends in a disqualification. Triple H interferes to save Stephanie from Test. So it's the same thing, but, you know, Triple H got to beat them while for Angle, it ends in a DQ. They end up clearing out Test and Albert, and then they try to fight each other. Stephanie gets in between them. Referees come down. This is a really stupid story right here, or just segment, where the three in the ring are Triple H, Kurt Angle, and Stephanie. Stephanie is right beside them, not in between them, but right beside them as they fight. And Triple H goes for a pedigree on Angle. And Stephanie grabs Triple H from behind. And Triple H takes his time and still elbows her in the back of the head, which would be another disqualification in MMA rules. I don't know who Triple H thought that was. I know referees were running out, but at this point, the referees had already been cleared out, and he had enough time to know who it was. And considering Stephanie was beside them and then not beside them, like, I didn't get this. I guess he had tunnel vision and he could only see.
Yeah, the announcer tried and sell they thought it was a referee.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying. That was the story anyway.
It was poorly acted and laid out, whatever it was.
Triple H beating up his wife again.
Yep. And then Angle hits Triple H, and Triple H just he drops an elbow on her. He doesn't, it's not like an awkward fall where he elbow drops her. Like, Angle just hits him a couple of times and he legitimately just elbow drops her. This was so corny, this whole segment. Just the way it ended up happening. And Stephanie doesn't even sell this all that much. She rolls outside. She rolls.
Well, she's still probably out from Triple H getting elbowed.
Well, she rolls to the apron and she starts to get up, and then Angle is whipped into her, and so she falls. And then, yeah. And then Triple H dispatches of Angle. He picks up Stephanie to carry her to the back. And Kurt Angle revives himself. He turns Triple H around and lays him out with a punch, and Stephanie just falls on top of him. Sucker punch by Kurt Angle. I don't know why Angle didn't pick up Stephanie and take her to the back for himself.
Well, Kurt Angle's a gentleman.
He hit the man while he's trying to carry his wife to safety. How's that being gentlemanly?
Okay, well, I got nothing for that one.
This Foley eventually books Angle and Triple H for Unforgiven, and he's going to be the special guest referee.
Because he's gonna make it come to an end. They gotta settle the thing, and Foley decides that he has to be the referee to settle it. Which the feud Foley has not exactly been keeping the peace or trying to settle things.
No, not at all.
He's been stirring the pot the whole time, just like Just Joe.
On SmackDown, Triple H and Angle team on to take TNA. Why? I don't know. They've already buried this team. And Foley says that, you know what, Triple H, if you hit Kurt Angle before the pay-per-view, you're going to lose the match.
There you go.
The match will just be canceled. During the tag team match, Stephanie, of course, gets involved. Angle goes to check on her after Test kind of hits her. And Triple H goes to hit Kurt Angle, but he holds his punch. Angle tries to bait him, saying, come on, hit me, you pussy. And in the end, Test hits the full Nelson bomb on Triple H, and Test gets the victory on Triple H. So they get some heat back, I guess. Angle is excited as Stephanie is up checking on Triple H now. September 18th, Raw. Stephanie wants Foley to cancel the pay-per-view match, and Foley's like, nope, this is our big pay-per-view seller. We got to keep this match going here. Angle comes out, and he once again talks about being friends and stuff. By this point in the angle, they've not only burned through what could have been 8 seasons worth of sitcom storylines in about 2 months, but Steve Austin has returned, and they're doing the whodunit angle with him.
Another glorious angle.
Yeah, and that's kind of taken precedent over this whole love triangle thing now. So that's why they're just kind of rehashing a lot of stuff, and it's really starting to peter out at this point. Which, I mean, when these three take up 45 minutes on each show, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Triple H comes out, and he is happy this week. The man is finally happy.
That took long enough.
Why is he happy? Because he has discovered that Kurt Angle is gay. That's your big payoff here. He says, you know what? I don't know why I was so jealous of you this whole time. What kind of man looks at Stephanie and just wants to be friends with someone like this? Which is a good point, I would say.
Yeah, makes sense.
And he says, a kind of man that loves to grapple with other men.
And that's right.
So he shows Kurt's amateur wrestling matches, which is gayer than actual pro wrestling. And he shows Kurt crying at the Olympics, and he calls him a pansy. And he says, I'm fine with you being friends with my wife. You guys can go shopping for clothes and drapes and all that fun stuff and have a good old time. Go have fun. And then she comes home, and I'll be the one to satisfy her. This is when the angle just gets really fucking stupid.
Yeah, this is another one you couldn't do in 2018.
Yeah, Foley comes out, and he's like, hey, Kurt is gay. So Foley is really impartial here. All of this just to set up a 6-man tag with Triple H, Kurt Angle, Stephanie against Double T and A. Stephanie pins Test in the match.
Of course.
Oh, poor fucking Test. Angle hugs Stephanie at the match. Triple H knocks him out.
Post-match hugs are okay.
Yeah, Triple H was fine with the post-match hug, but he still decided to knock him out. I guess Triple H is allowed to hit him. He wasn't allowed to hit him on SmackDown, or else he lost the pay-per-view match. But on Raw...
Well, I think it's... It was, well, the gimmick was he couldn't. I think the gimmick was he couldn't punch Kurt Angle during the match.
I think the gimmick is now that he realizes that Kurt Angle is gay, it's okay to hit him.
Well, let's be honest. The gimmick is that they forgot the SmackDown gimmick.
Nah, that's probably more likely. Your big go-home show for SmackDown is Test and Angle on opposite teams in a six-man, finally. Triple H wins. He whips Angle into Stephanie, and Angle is upset at this. And then he rolls up Kurt Angle. That's how he wins. Angle is upset because Triple H sacrificed his wife like that. So after the match, he beats the hell out of Triple H, and he hits him with a sledgehammer in the ribs. We'll get to that when we talk about this Unforgiven match. But Kurt Angle stands tall on the go-home SmackDown. Stephanie wants him to stop. Kurt Angle does not stop, and he gives Stephanie a big old kiss and then a giant smile.
Yeah.
Unforgiven 2000. Foley is your special guest referee here. He made it a no DQ match because this is a blood feud that cannot end with disqualification like every other match in this angle. Before the match, Angle sings happy birthday to Stephanie. Triple H comes out with taped ribs. He's selling the sledgehammer shot because, of course, he puts the sledgehammer over. It's the most dangerous weapon in all of pro wrestling.
Well, to be fair, I wouldn't want to be a sledgehammer.
No, I mean, it's good, but he put the sledgehammer over more than being dropped from a forklift.
Now, that hadn't happened yet.
That's true. The match is fine. We don't review hold by hold here on this podcast. Comes to an end when Triple H hits Kurt Angle with a one-armed pedigree. And then he calls Stephanie into the ring for some reason, and he says, you got to choose, Steph. You got to make a choice. So Stephanie flips a coin, and it comes up on tails again. and she that doesn't actually happen.
It made much sense with anything else.
So Stephanie ends up kicking Angle in the nuts, and Triple H hits another pedigree, and he wins. Stephanie does not look thrilled with her decision.
What's she doing? They probably just waved Stephanie in the ring at that. I don't know what.
You gotta choose.
He said, you got to choose either me or him. That's what the game said to his wife. Oh, wow. Downstairs, that low blow, no disqualification there. And Triple H sucked it out. And now the pedigree. There's a cover. And the game wins it. Stephanie made a choice.
Here is your winner, the game, Triple H.
What a choice. She doesn't look too overwhelmed, does she? I think right now she may be wondering if she made the right decision, but nonetheless, she made a decision, and it was a drastic decision.
Triple H put his wife on the spot. Right?
Mick Foley, is that no DQ, so he can't disqualify Triple H because of what Stephanie did. Triple H wins it. And Stephanie, for some reason, hovering. Quite frankly, over Kurt Angle, which I don't understand. Triple H told his wife, you got to make a choice. You got to make it now. And Stephanie did. You think maybe Stephanie's trying to apologize? I don't know. You think maybe she got second thoughts? I don't know. And women, look at figure them. LA's this effort by both these magnificent athletes, the game and Kurt Angle. And the game shut just out down. Oh, what? Whoa. That was a... You got a kiss from that.
Well, that was one of those spontaneous things like Al Gore does.
I don't think that was exactly a loving kind of kiss, if you ask me.
I think he hurt her lip.
He may have busted her lip kissing her hard. I don't think we know all this story that we're going to know at some point.
And yeah. Triple H, who was bleeding from the mouth, forces a kiss on her, and she doesn't look too happy about it.
You didn't quite feel the love in that kiss. It's compared to the Kurt Angle and Stephanie McMahon kiss, is not quite the same.
That's pretty much how this angle ends. The epilogue here is Triple H and Kurt Angle have a number one contenders match on either SmackDown. I think it was actually Raw. Not Raw the next night, because actually the next night Angle wants a rematch. And Mick Foley pulls a George St. Pierre and says, "I was not impressed by your performance, so you don't get a rematch." But then he gives him a rematch with a number one contenders slot. So Chris Benoit ends up interfering, and Triple H has to save Stephanie from Benoit, and Angle gets the victory.
You better save her from Benoit.
I wasn't going to go there, but that's true. And this upsets Triple H. He says, "You're a liability being at ringside. You're costing me these matches," even though that hasn't really been the case at all, except for this one, I guess.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, Stephanie wasn't at ringside. She cost them the match from backstage in that one.
She came down the ringside and then.
That's true. When she got hit. So he calls her a liability. This upsets Stephanie, and she decides to get back at him by helping Kurt Angle beat the likes of Scotty Too Hotty and Grandmaster Sexay. And so Angle says, "Well, you know, let's just form a business relationship," because he's gay now. So they're all about just doing business together.
I don't think that was the gimmick.
And then why would he just say, "Okay, let's do a business relationship"? He just doesn't like her anymore.
He's pulling the old move where, you know, you form the business relationship, you start working together. You know what happens when you start working together?
I guess so.
That's what he's pulling. That's what he's trying to do.
I guess so.
Believe me, I've seen it a million times.
Stephanie ends up managing Kurt Angle all the way to the WWF title at No Mercy.
Some liability managing the title.
Yeah. Stephanie does get taken out in that match by The Rock, and then Triple H the following week, you know, isn't happy that Angle put his wife in harm's way, so the business relationship ends, and that's the end of it.
That's pretty much it, yeah. Because then we have to move on to, Kurt Angle defends the WWF title for a while, and Triple H moves on to being the man that forced Rikishi to run over Steve Austin.
Yeah, as I said, Austin returned in September, and his whodunit angle kind of took precedence over everything else.
That's another one where you have to wonder what the original idea was, because I can't believe that the original idea was for Rikishi to be the man who did it, and then eventually had revealed that Triple H was the man behind it.
I think Triple H was always the person behind it, and I think they used Rikishi to just
drag it out.
Yeah, to drag it out, and for some reason Austin couldn't beat Triple H, so they needed Rikishi to take some falls for Triple H.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the Triple H, Kurt Angle, Stephanie McMahon love triangle. A quick note on this. Somebody asked Dave Meltzer, like, why this was dropped so suddenly. And trust me, this did not feel sudden if you had to rewatch all of this. It felt like this was just 2 years worth of storylines. And Meltzer says that Triple H went to the writers and said it wouldn't be believable if Kurt Angle had stolen his wife. He said no one would buy that someone like Kurt Angle would be able to steal my wife from me. So that's why it was dropped.
I love this. That's great.
I believe that story. I believe Kurt or Triple H would go to the writers and say
absolutely
something like
that. Yeah.
It certainly seemed like the payoff to this was, it shouldn't have been Stephanie, you know, kicking Kurt Angle low and then feeling reluctant about it and then forming a business relationship with Angle. Yeah. Like that doesn't seem like, I don't know.
Not at all. I mean, at the time, I thought the way I thought it was going I thought that Stephanie was going to go with Kurt Angle.
That would have been the... She should have either gone with Kurt Angle, like, full bore, and you still could have done, like... It didn't even have to be a love thing. Like, she could have just turned on Triple H, and they still could have kind of done
still
the...
still could have been business associates.
Yeah, done the business partner relationship, and then Kurt Angle would have looked like... You know, we are just friends. Like, I just need her to better my business. And look, I'm the WWF champion now. And then Stephanie, he could just drop Stephanie. Like, you get more heat on Angle through
and later
that.
On, you get back to Triple H and Stephanie or whatever. And I believe that Meltzer story is accurate. And I think the reason that they didn't want to break up the Triple H Stephanie thing was because Triple H didn't want to break up the Triple H Stephanie thing because Triple H wanted to be with Stephanie.
But he ends up, I mean, when he gets involved with Austin, like, Stephanie is such a background player in that feud that she's so insignificant that they could have broken away.
And I think it's also around that time that Stephanie was getting more power in the Korea event. Backstage, where she had to spend more time backstage, creatively speaking, things like that.
Yeah, this is again when you just could have Stephanie turns on Triple H at Unforgiven, aligns herself with Angle. Angle again reiterates, we're friends, it's a business relationship. He wins the title at No Mercy. He's gotten what he wanted out of this relationship. Yeah. He kicks Stephanie to the curb. She goes
away.
It made
Angle a lot hotter, too.
Yeah, she goes away for a while, like she did anyway. And then when she comes back, you know, then she has a target immediately on Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
That would have made infinitely more sense than Triple H just winning this match and Stephanie.
Triple H winning was also the basis of a lot of decisions at this point.
That's very true. Yeah.
See, they were gone better if Kurt Angle had beat Triple H and then went on to beat The Rock and became this hot WWF champion. And you could have dropped Stephanie or whatever you want to do with that. But it turned out that, no, that doesn't involve Triple H winning. That's kind of the problem with that whole idea.
It is a weird thing of Triple H has to beat the guy who's going to eventually win the title. Because he did this with Austin.
They were with Austin, too. Yeah, no way out. He had to beat the guy, and then, of course, Austin went to WrestleMania and won. And then Austin had to turn heel, and then Triple H had to join him, and Triple H had to be the guy in charge. You know, WWF got a lot... I kind of pause to say it because the invasion was kind of a mess, too, but Triple H was... I don't know.
I'd hate to know what the invasion would have looked like if Triple H was
with Triple
around.
H? Oh, God. Triple H would have been the Lord King Master Dice W ECW? I don't know. Probably.
I think he would have, honestly. Like, I think he would have.
He probably been in the Austin role, yeah.
Yeah, he would have been in the Austin role, except he wouldn't have been, like, this campy kind of character.
No, he wouldn't have been campy at all. He would have been a badass that destroyed everybody on the other side.
Yeah. So, the love triangle. It's still going on in 2018. It's
still going on, pretty much, yeah.
Although they don't actually bring it up nowadays.
Oh, God, I'd love them to bring it up, though. When it makes sense, wouldn't it?
I don't see why you wouldn't bring it up.
Why wouldn't you bring it up? Have they brought up it all?
I can't.
Like, has Kurt or Steph alluded to it at any point during this whole run?
No, I remember when the whole illegitimate son angle was playing out. You know, there was the rumors that, oh, could it be with Stephanie? But they were...
That was the rumors, yeah, which unfortunately we went a different direction with that.
Well, they were never going to go with the Stephanie thing. Like, the kid...
Oh, God. Do you think Triple H would have let that happen?
I don't think... I don't think Angle or Stephanie would have even let that happen because, you know, you have a... Like, she's on screen as, first off, this power couple, and she's... You know, pretty much the face of the company at this point, like on screen and off screen. So,
yeah, Vince is taking a step back there.
Yeah, you can't run this angle with, you know, a mother of three having an illegitimate kid with somebody 18 years ago. Plus, the kid would have only been 18, so I don't know if they got anyone young enough on the roster who.
You know what I still wish they did with that?
What's that?
I would, you know, I'd be okay if, I mean, Jason Jordan being the son's fine. I still wish that Charmaine had been the mother.
Yeah, that was the other kind of rumor. Yeah.
And then Booker T would have been, had reason to hate Jason Jordan.
Maybe that's why he does hate Jason Jordan.
Maybe that's what made Booker T heard the rumors.
Yeah.
Charmaine played into the rumors and maybe Booker got shoot pissed off.
I don't see why they wouldn't bring it up nowadays, though. Just as, even if it's kind of in passing.
Yeah, like a side comment, you know.
Yeah, like, then you get, because, I mean, they've got a lot of new viewers. Like, the storyline is 18 years old, which, again, goes to show you how little things have changed in this company.
Seriously.
In 18 years, that it's the same fucking people on top. But you've got a lot of new viewers who probably don't know about this. And if you bring it up in passing, you're appealing to the hardcore fans like us who know that it happened. And you're telling those new viewers, like, yeah, hey, go to the network and watch all this stuff. And then they watch it.
Find out why Triple H and Kurt Angle don't seem to get along.
Yeah, and then they watch it and they're like, shit, I'm never watching this nonsense again. But I don't know how you would bring it up nowadays, though. Like, what could they say?
Well, they have already done it by now.
They still have brought time.
You have brought up when Kurt first came in, when Kurt first came back, and well, whenever he and Stephanie first crossed paths is when you have brought up.
They still have time. Like they're going to be involved in a lot of segments together between now and WrestleMania.
That's true. It probably has to come up by process of elimination.
I don't think it will. I honestly don't think it will.
Well, they have enough to do with Ronda. That's true.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. I would just like for Kurt Angle to even just say something like, you know, why are we fighting, Stephanie? Like, we've always done good business together. Like, you helped me. Like, you led me to my first WWF championship. Like, just something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, still too threatening, I suppose.
I guess. Maybe it's too logical for them.
To sum it up, I would say, you know, good story that ran way too fast, probably, and a bad finish.
Yeah, they definitely burned through a lot in a short amount of time, and the payoff was not good at all. This is one of those things where, I mean, typically we recap matches on this show, and there's really only two matches of consequence that you need to see. Like, everything else is so segment based with this storyline. Like, none of the matches, the payoff isn't the match, I don't feel like.
No. Well, the payoff is the kick in the balls.
Yeah, but you really don't need to see these matches to know to get the big blow off here.
Yeah,
because even the kick in the balls, like, Stephanie is so reluctant and everything, and like, that isn't like the actual payoff. The actual payoff is Triple H just saying, like, your business relationship is over with, and then Stephanie,
much like backstage, Triple H killed the story.
Yeah, so that is our love triangle. I hope to never do a love triangle ever again. I hope. You know what sucks?
Well, we could always do Savage and Hogan and Elizabeth.
That was actually a good love triangle, though. You know what sucks is we've done this podcast. How many episodes have we done now?
Oh, gosh. Like, not even that many.
No. I think we've only done three. We've done three arcs. We've done Survivor Series, Roman Reigns, Goldberg. Anybody else?
Okay, so this is the fourth. Yeah.
Two of those Triple H plays a prominent role in, and in the next couple of weeks we're gonna do Daniel Bryan, and Triple H plays a prominent role in it.
So you're saying we need to do a non-Triple H one in between?
We definitely need to do a non-Triple H one in between.
So we're not gonna do the hog pen match.
No, we're not gonna do the hog pen match. I don't know. We will probably jump back to WCW for our next one, and we'll figure out
Miss Hancock and Major Guns.
Just do Vince Russo storylines.
There you go. Oh my god!
I mean, we did that for our first show. We did Survivor Series. That was Vince Russo.
Vince Russo winning the championship.
Yeah, that was. I wanted to, you know what storyline I actually want to do, because I would force you to watch the movie as well. David Arquette winning the world title.
Oh.
We get the triple cage match of death in the Ready to Rumble movie.
We do need to do that at some point. That'd be fantastic.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
That'd be good.
So yeah, we'll figure out what we're gonna do next. But in whatever we do next after that will be the Daniel Bryan story. Cook, what have you been up to? I know you've been a busy man. What do you got cooking?
You can check me out over on 411mania.com. I did a Elimination Chamber recap. Did a column on John Cena's upcoming WrestleMania opponent. He's going to wrestle somebody.
Nobody.
First.
No.
He will wrestle some. I promise you, John Cena will be there. He's going to be there. He'll be there. He'll be okay. Be there. Chairshot.com. I've been writing all kinds of stuff there. I read about the interest from Fox Network on WWE. WWE and Fox.
That is
again.
Very interesting. Story
that could be interesting. I'd be interesting to see how that plays out. And I also did what the hell else did I do over there? Oh yeah, the thing on the thing. You know, sometimes you just forget what you write because you write so many damn things. It's about how guys become top stars and they do by getting angry, by getting mad. It's true.
It hasn't worked out so well for Rusev on Twitter.
You get mad, you become a star. Well, Triple H got mad and see how he did.
Yeah, that's...
Triple H was so mad during this angle, right? He's always angry.
He was, until he found out Kurt Angle was gay.
That's right.
And then he was happy.
And then Predlines.com, I write about the first place in the Western Conference Nashville Predators. I had some February awards. Did a preview of a game where they won. So, yeah, I'm always there doing previews, recaps, all kinds of things. Predators. First place, yo.
My hockey son, Steve Cook.
It's going pretty well.
Yeah, I know. I've turned you on to the right team, I guess.
And it's worked out well because I'd be watching Louisville basketball instead. So.
thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, check out the chairshot.com. Use your head. So much good podcasting going on there and articles. Big network of wrestling at thechairshot.com. And thanks everybody for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks with a new arc.